Well, today isn't just Anna's last day. Today is also our last episode of Greater LA. The station is making a programming change that you're going to experience starting Monday on KCRW. And I'm joined now by Greater LA's managing producer, Christian Bordahl, who was here with me when we launched this show nearly 5 years ago. Actually, we were launching it 5 years ago, weren't we?
Yes, we were, yeah. Indeed. Yes, we were working as of 5 years ago.
the thing about it was, and is this has been a labor of love for so many people.
That's for sure. Yeah. And you know, before we go, I think we need to appreciate all of the people who have made the show really what it is. Like our wonderful, hardworking colleague producers, Juliana Mayo and Zoe Matthew, and those who came before them, Jenna Cagle and Catherine Barnes.
Amy Ta, right? And mm-hmm. Danny Chiriguayo and all the folks on the web and social media teams, of course.
Absolutely.
The man pushing all the important buttons, who's doing it right now, Phil Richards. Phil, thank you.
Engineer Ray Guana, who's mixed many of these great sound-rich reported stories that we've had on the show.
Sonia Geis, who edits all of the wonderful KCRW reporters. Anna Scott, whom you heard today. Megan Jamerson, Robin Estrin, Kaylee Wells.
Yeah, and I want to give a special shout-out to the original architect of Greater LA. His name is Quinn O'Toole, who really pushed to make the show happen back then. And you know, I know we're all so sad to see this show go. We've had a great time here. We've made a lot of good radio shows, I think, but there is one silver lining. Steve, people will still be able to hear you covering local stories here at the station, right?
I am not going anywhere. I'm sticking around here at KCRW. You will hear me in the afternoons, which is ironically how I began this journey at KCRW.
That's
so
right.
Many years ago, 12 years ago,
all
for that
remember
matter.
Remember it well.
And you'll still hear, by the way, the critical journalism, those reporters that we mentioned, they're not going anywhere. So we're still going to be covering the things that are important to Southern California during Morning Edition and All Things Considered. So very important going forward.
Yeah. And before we get too sad about the end of things, let's have a little fun here. Let's go back to the day nearly 5 years ago when we kicked off
the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. At the end of the Harbor Freeway, just across the Vincent Thomas Bridge, are the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. And right between those ports, at the appropriately named Terminal Island, is the spot where Southern California's cars go to die. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the future of cars in LA, cars that come into the ports by the tens of thousands every year. But first, let's talk about the vehicles at the port that are going out, or the crumpled, broken pieces of them anyway.
Well, most of these cars, I think a good percentage, maybe 90%+ of the cars here in Southern California are going to have to pass through one of our shredders.
500 to 600 cars get shredded here every single day. Tony Cuevas is the one who, with the touch of a button, pulverizes those vehicles into oblivion.
We're across the channel from the port where we receive all the new cars. When I first started working here about 19 and a half years ago, I seen a lot of the old cars coming in, and now those are the cars we've been shredding for the last past 5 years. So you actually really do see all the new cars come in, and then you see all the cars come out of here shredded.
Shredded means just what you think it does, like that paper shredder that you have at home or the office. A giant mechanical claw, like the one inside the game you always lose at in the arcade. It takes a flattened car and puts it on a conveyor belt to get ripped into pieces. Inside the control room, Tony Cuevas sits in this large, important-looking chair behind thick, unbreakable glass with a bird's-eye view.
This is like Game of Thrones. You're in the seat.
Yeah, I'm in the metal throne right here, the iron throne, they call it, right?
And so, it swivels?
It swivels. I could look down. We have 10 cameras above, so I could be able to see the downstream, the infeed. I could see what the guys are feeding me.
You have a lot of power in that chair, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you do. Look at all those levers and buttons. Oh, my.
It's like I'm flying a plane.
You don't let visitors operate that machine, do you?
Not usually.
Well, there's
a possibility.
Case. Really? Can I sit in the chair?
Sure. Here, we'll let you shred a car.
Oh my God. I get to shred a car? Oh, I'm sitting in the Game of Thrones. Oh, it's comfortable too, Tony. So the arcade claw is picking up the smashed car.
Yep.
And he's going to put it
on the
conveyor belt.
Here it comes now.
All right, here it comes. Oh, there it is. There
so
it
now
is.
Now you could grab that joystick there.
Okay. This
and,
one.
And bring it down.
Bring it down.
There and forward. There, you just shredded your first car.
Wow!
There's another one coming right behind it.
Are
so
you
just
serious?
Hold it like that.
Just hold it? Oh my goodness. There it is. Oh! Whoa! Tony, you and I are taking cars off the road in Los Angeles.
It takes a while to make a car.
And it takes me about 10 seconds to destroy it. That's another car.
Do you feel sorry for some of these cars? It's like, oh, I don't want to destroy this.
Has money in the bank for us. I see my bonus there going up the belt.
SA Recycling makes its money, about $350 per car, by selling its post-mortem bits and pieces to companies in Asia. Think Korea, Vietnam, India.
And so what do they become when they leave here?
It could be a number of things. It could be your new refrigerator, you know. It could be your new car. It could be anything.
For now, those bits are stacked up into piles. Piles of aluminum, piles of clean steel, or copper, or brass. China used to take a lot of that material, but it's not taking much anymore, partly because of a dramatic change in their import policy last year, and partly because of the Trump administration's trade dispute. Fernando Ruiz is the recycling plant's general manager. He has to figure out who to sell those piles to.
A year ago, we had to wait like a little bit longer, but...
Because of the tariffs.
Part of that, you know. And also, you know, that somehow China affects the market worldwide, you know. Sometimes the demand for this material decrease, and that's why we're struggling a little bit. But for the most part, our goal at the end of the month, we had to make sure we ship out everything.
So it's really affecting your bottom line here.
I will say so. I mean, and we're struggling. We used to have China for years and years, you know. And now, you know, we have to look for some other routes or some other places to sell our product.
For now, they're making this work, and chances are still good that someday that car you're driving, maybe while listening to me on the radio right now, will wind up here in Tony Cuevas' shredder.
And you see all those cars on those freeways, and you're stuck in front of one or in back of one, and you're like, what are you thinking when you come to this place every day?
I'm thinking pretty soon you'll be mine, right?
Thank you, LA.